Welcome to American Variety Radio. I'm your host, Court Lewis. You know, one of the most common themes in our guests and shows over the years is people who have a big dream and pursue it against big odds and succeed. The show's called American Variety for a reason, and they have been a very varied bunch. Artists, adventurers, scientists, entrepreneurs, astronauts, explorers, and authors. And out of all of those, I think one of the toughest paths to success is through the performing arts. My guest this week is a young guy named Austin Moody, who's well on his way to making it in country music. He's joining us from Nashville, which I guess is the right place to be, and we're going to talk with him about what it's like to be doing what he's doing, and we might even hear a song or two. Welcome, Austin.
How you doing, Court? Thanks for having me today.
I'm doing great. I appreciate you being on. One reason I wanted to have you on is because you're from the same area, Northeast Tennessee, where American Variety's flagship station, WTS, is located. And so you're 24 and starting out and getting established in Nashville, but I guess your country roots are really here. And how did you first get hooked on country?
Well, I've been hooked on country music, I mean, ever since I can remember. You know, my parents were always playing classic country, and I guess really the first country artist I fell in love with was Don Williams. It was like they were always playing Don Williams, and I fell in love with that.
Who besides him are your biggest influences?
Alan Jackson, George Strait, you know, those guys I've always been drawn to because I call them the gentlemen of country music. They're respectful, and they just tell a story that everybody can relate to. And so I've always drifted toward those guys.
You like Johnny Cash?
Oh, Johnny Cash, man. Love Johnny Cash. Mm. My grandma always has me sing Johnny Cash every time I come home.
That's good. You always got something to sing to grandma. Well, those are old school people. And so much of country today seems like basically pop with a country twang. It's not even crossover now anymore. It just seems like another flavor of pop music to me, a lot of it. I mean, there is old school mixed in, right? But is old school country still a really viable option now in country music as an acceptable route? And does it make it harder to make it if you're following that path?
Well, the thing about country music and music in general is that, you know, there's always been these periods of a certain phase or the end thing. Back in the late 80s, you had Restless Heart and Exile and that new sound. And people said, well, this is what country music is now. Traditional's out. Classic country will never be viable again. But then here comes Randy Travis and Alan Jackson with On the Other Hand, which was written by Keith Stegall, and brought a whole new wave of the 90s country, and that brought classic country back. And then you get on into the 2000s, it started changing again, more of a pop country thing. And so it's always been one of those things where I think country music has come back time and time again, and I think right now we're in a very interesting place in the industry where things are starting to turn around. You take Chris Stapleton, you know, winning the CMA Artist of the Year and won a Grammy for the record this year. And just, it's interesting. We're in kind of a renaissance phase right now. I think traditional country music still is viable, and I think people are hungry for it. Being out there playing this stuff and seeing the reaction of certain songs, I definitely think it's going to turn back around to a more traditional sound. The packaging may be different, but the lyrical content and the voice will always be viable.
Well, myself, I like the old basic traditional roots stuff, so that sounds good to me. You're listening to American Variety Radio. I'm your host, Court Lewis. We're talking with Austin Moody, who is a country singer-songwriter who's, as I mentioned, 24 years old, and he's going strong and starting to really make it in country music, lives in Nashville. Austin, I tell you, you know, we've got some time here. Why don't you, if you would, walk us through the process of what you do to get established as an artist and really in country music. It's probably not a whole lot different from other genres, but that's the one you know. It's probably different, I would think, for everyone in the details and so on, but I imagine a lot of it's the same. How did you start, and what are the steps from there?
Well, really, the first step is just going for it, and that step is different for everyone. I started to write songs around 15 or 16 and didn't think anything about it for about a year after I started writing, and then finally played them for a guy in Kingsport, Rick Hicks. And of course, the songs weren't great, but he was like, and he heard something. He said, "You have a talent for that." And I was like, "Okay, well, that's, nobody's ever told me that." And he said, "Well, the only way you're going to have a shot at this is if you move to Nashville." And when I got here, a wise man told me, "You got to be present to win." Mm-hmm. And the timing is kind of in the stars. I'm not one to believe in coincidence, but, you know, sometimes I think in this industry, you just have to keep moving forward. As I go back through the years, I would go down one road. It would be a dead end. Then I would come back out and go down another one, and somebody would do something wrong. You can't let it affect you. You just have to keep pushing forward, and eventually, if it's meant to be, you're going to meet the right people. So it's going to be different for everybody, but I think just pushing forward, and that's really in anything you do, any entrepreneurship, is you just have to keep moving forward. Spend a lot of time on your knees praying.
Yeah. Well, I think people can hear that Austin's got the voice, and I've seen him live in performance, and he's got the whole deal. At what point do you sign with a manager? Because, you know, when you get to, you know, you're 20, 21 or whatever, you get to Nashville, you're a very tiny frog in a big pond. How do you find a manager, and how do you know they're the right one? I mean, how do you go through that process?
Well, the point where you would need a manager is when you start to get busy, you start to do things, you need direction. And that point for me was when I started getting attention. But at this point, this was probably, I guess, three and a half, four years after I was here. Hmm. I had been around town enough. I'd met some people. I started getting a little bit of attention, and I had a good mentor, D. Vincent Williams, who saw some of this take place and was actually the one that said, "Okay, we need to find you a manager and what have you," just because there's no way of knowing what to do when you get to a certain point. It's like, well, do I sign this binder's agreement this guy has offered me? It doesn't really look good, but I don't know if that's what I'm supposed to do. And it's like, so that's what a manager does. You find somebody you can trust, and really it's a gut thing. Mm. You got to have that good relationship, and more importantly, you need to find someone that believes in you and wants to manage you, doesn't want to change you, wants to find the best in you. And you have to make sure they're willing to do that. You know, because obviously, in a lot of things we do, there's people that want to take advantage.
Sure.
And in this industry, people will do that. So you just got to be careful and take your time. If somebody pushes papers in front of you as soon as you meet them, it's probably a bad sign. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you take George Strait and his manager. They've never signed a contract. It's always been a handshake deal.
Is that right?
And it's a trust thing. But this day and time, they say contracts keep friends friends. And really, it's beneficial towards the artist, too, to have that in place. But you want to make sure it's the right fit.
Sure. Well, you also have a band that you tour with. How'd you find them, and what kind of relationship do you have with them? Do you spend a lot of your time together or have separate lives apart from performing, or how does that work?
Bands in Nashville are not hard to find, to say the least. Mm-hmm. You know, you take a lot of guys play down on Broadway, and they're always looking for artists to play with. But then you got guys that just strictly stay on the road. It's kind of one of those things where you have to get out, you got to meet people, listen to guys, get phone numbers. If you hear a guitar player you like, just go up to them and say, "Hey, let's exchange numbers. I would love to have you come out and play some dates." And so it's just one of those things, meeting friends. Early on in my career, you know, I didn't have a lot of steady dates. I didn't have enough work to keep a whole band just working with me all the time. So they would have other work too. So when they couldn't do it, I'd had to find another player. Mm-hmm. The best thing that worked for me was to find three guys in every position, find three drummers, three bassists, and if one couldn't do it, you could call the next one to do the gig. But now where I'm at, I have a steady band and guys that play with me full time. And our relationship, obviously we spend a lot of time on the road, and the thing about the road is you got to understand it, and it's not what a lot of people think it is. It's grueling, it's very tiring. You're in close quarters all the time around the same people, and everybody's just going to be a lot sported about it and just have a good time and take it for what it is. The guys I have with me now, we're brothers, and we do anything for each other. Mm-hmm. But it is business. You have to be able to separate business from personal. and go do your work, and then come home, and when we come home and enjoy that, you know, because that's our safe place.
Such a company town. I think of that song, Nashville Cats, been playing since they babies, you know, so
yeah.
Most of them have been, I guess. Do you write your own songs?
I do. I do write my own songs.
Both the music and the lyrics?
I do, yes, and wow. I've been fortunate enough to be around a lot of great writers to learn from, and am continuing to learn. You know, my grandpa always said, the day you quit learning is the day that you become a fool. So I've been very fortunate to be around those guys.
So do you have songwriting collaborators, people you actually sit down with and bang something out on the piano?
I do. I co-write my songs with a lot of people. Defense at Williams, probably the biggest songwriting mentor I've had. He wrote I'm Moving On, Rascal Flatts, and a lot of number one hits. And I was fortunate enough to move in right next door to him 5 years ago. So that was kind of a God thing. But over the years, met a lot of Hall of Famers. Recently just lost a real good friend of ours, Kim Williams, who was a mentor as well. And wrote Three Wooden Crosses. And just, you can't put a price on the things I learned from those guys. They really knew how to craft a song.
Moving in next door to a top songwriter, it sounds like a lot of it's being in the right place at the right time and happening to run into the right people, that kind of thing, huh? Just luck.
It is. It is. It's a little bit of both, you know. You have to, you never know when you're going to meet these guys. You never know what the opportunities are going to be, when they're going to come, where they're going to come. And being around the right people and meeting the right people is key, because a lot of people move to town and meet the wrong people. And those wrong people are very successful at what they do, and that's taking advantage of people. And so you got to, you know, I've always had a great sense in my gut if something's right or wrong. And then when I think something seems off, I go to people I trust and go, what do you think about this? And, you know, get a few opinions before I do anything. Too many artists move to town and they're looking for a record deal. They're looking to sign something. They just want to sign a piece of paper. And that is the absolute worst thing to do. You know, I moved to town and, you know, had opportunities to get involved with certain people. And it was, I really did a lot of it prematurely. And so it's all about being patient, you know, and just being present to win and take your time. When I, funny thing is, I moved to town and D-Vincent Williams looked at me and said, you're going to have stuff happen probably around 7 to 8 years after you move here. This is a 7-year town. And when he told me that, I looked like a cow looking at a new gate.
Really?
So, and he was almost right. It's taken probably 5.5, 6 years to really get some solid ground underneath me. So I'm a year too early, but you know, it's just one of those things where you just, like I said, you got to be persistent and trust people, meet the right people, seek those people out. There's a lot of good guys in this town and all over the country, and just seek those people out.
Well, Austin Moody, speaking of your songs, let's hear one that I think you wrote. It's called Till the Sun Burns Out.
Get to know you, the less and less I need to know. It's time to find a way to show you how far I want this thing to go. Now I could simply say forever, but there ain't a lot of clever in that. So I guess the best way to tell you how long I want this ride to last. Till the ocean quits waving, earth stops quaking, wind quits blowing, river stops flowing. Nothing short of evermore is what I'm talking about. As long as the day keeps breaking dawn, keeps waking moon, still shining stars, keep arising, gonna love you till the world stops spinning or the sun burns out. Now I swear until the earth's invaded or caught squeeze out all the population. Girl, I'm never gonna let you go. Now, I'm not a mathematician, but baby, when it comes to you and me, I'm making up my own equation. Forever plus eternity. Till the ocean quits waving, earth stops quaking, wind quits blowing, rivers stop flowing. Nothing short of evermore is what I'm talking about. As long as the day keeps breaking dawn, keeps waking moon, still shining stars keep arising, gonna love you till the world stops spinning or the sun burns out. As long as the day keeps breaking dawn, keeps waking moon, still shining stars keep rising, nothing short of evermore is what I'm talking about. Yeah, till the ocean quits waving, earth stops quaking, wind quits blowing, rivers stop flowing, gonna love you till the world stops spinning or the sun burns out. The sun burns out.
Wow, that's a fun song. I'd say I had both feet and one hand tapping. 3 out of 4. That's good.
Yep, it'll do it to you. Yeah, I co-wrote that with D. Vincent. And it's going to be on my upcoming record.
Sounds good. We're looking forward to it. I'll tell you, you know, there's the stereotype of the actor who's parking cars or waiting tables. And I imagine a lot of that applies to aspiring singer-songwriters, too. How do they pay the bills while, you know, somebody like that's working their way up? Can you make enough money just from performing? I mean, you mentioned how you were kind of scrambling when you were just starting out. Did you have to kind of moonlight as doing what you loved or what?
Well, that's about right. Making money performing, starting out, absolutely not.
Yeah.
I moved to town, and when Shai started going to college full time, when I moved to town for audio engineering, when I was doing that, I also had a couple of other full time jobs. One of which was milking goats, and basically. Yeah.
It's country.
People all the time, but the only thing I knew how to do when I moved to town was farm and play music.
I'll be darned.
So it worked out perfect. But anyway, you know, doing all that, it's like you just got to, if you want to do it, you got to do what you got to do. And you know, it takes money to stay in a place and pursue something. So you just got to work at it. And I did that for a few years and graduated from college, and then, you know, had to ask myself, okay, well, I'm getting tired of working my life away here, and I'm not getting a lot done as far as what I came here to do. And so I had to make a decision. It's like, what can I do to make money doing music? It's like, what is that going to be? So I just started sending out emails and acting like my own booking agent, and finally landed some gigs here and there and worked a lot in Pigeon Forge in Gatlinburg, playing clubs up there and just getting at least an hour out of town to make any money at all. Because there's too many people in Nashville willing to play for free.
Right,
so,
sure.
And one of those things is, someone told me too, don't get stuck on Broadway because you'll get known as a Broadway band or a Broadway guy. And that made sense to me, so I made sure that I worked out of town. And playing clubs out of town was enough to where I could focus solely on my music. And so that freed up a lot of time. And, you know, doing that, I grew tremendously in my voice and my playing, and just doors open from there.
You are listening to American Variety Radio. I'm your host, Court Lewis. We're talking with country artist Austin Moody, who's still a young guy, and he's talking like he's been doing this for 20 years. It must have started when you were about 13 or something. But anyway, I assume that the goal is to get signed by a label. Are you with a label now?
I am with a brand new label, Impact Music Group.
Hmm, good. So what was your strategy for getting there? I think your manager is part of that organization, right?
Yes. My manager is the CEO of Impact Music Group. And, you know, it's just one of those things where you make a decision. Do you want to go and try to get a major label deal, or do you want to sign an independent deal? You know, and with this new label, it's been built around the format of obviously I'm the first artist, so I'm the only guy right now that they'll be concentrating on. So I'm going to get a lot of attention and a lot of care. I trust the people I'm working with and with everything, so that means a lot. But the other road isn't bad either. It's just kind of a coin toss because the majors are so big, and for a new artist to go through that is... It's like I said, it's a chance you got to take. Are you going to get lost or are you going to cut through? And sometimes why you don't cut through is because you may be competing with one of their top artists and they could shelve you and not do anything. So you just have to go with your gut, go with what feels right. But for me right now, I couldn't have made a better decision with signing with Impact. Good people over there.
Sounds good. I'll tell you, while we've got time, let's play another one of yours. You talked about being a farm boy and milking goats when you first went to Nashville. So actually, this song is called Farm Boy.
I drove into the city tonight. I never planned on meeting someone like you. Now here we are, dancing in the glow of a neon light. Gotta admit, I'm kinda falling for you. Girl, before we get too far into this thing, there's something you need to know. I can't compete with all these other guys, all city five. Yeah, right, that ain't me.
I'm just a farm kid, living out a farm life. A wannabe cowboy, riding on a combine. I'll probably never leave it. It's my whole world. I'm just a farm boy, wanna be my farm girl.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, what you see ain't always what you get. Take me in this seven diamond shirt. If you check the bottom of these old boots, you'll find some proof for sure.
Girl, if you still wanna hang out, let me take you to a place I know.
I'll show you where the stars shine brighter than you've ever seen.
Yeah, I know right where to go. Remember, I'm a farm kid, living out a farm life. A wannabe cowboy, riding on a combine. I'll probably never leave it. It's my whole world. I'm just a farm boy, wanna be my farm girl. You in that red dress, out of this bar scene, I'm praying there's a small town girl who'd rather be in blue jeans, who's looking for a farm kid, living out a farm life, a wannabe cowboy, riding on a combine. I'll probably never leave there. It's my home world. I'm just a farm boy. Wanna be my farm girl.
Well, that's nice. Obviously a whole different vibe from the other one, Till the Sun Burns Out. Did you write that one?
Yeah, it was interesting. Just one of those songs that pretty much who I am.
Did you write that one too?
I didn't write that one, but it's one of those that actually Dee Vincent and another co-writer wrote that for me and pitched that to me. And sometimes you just find those songs that are just, it sounds like you wrote them, but it's like, for me, I would love to write all my own songs for the record, but in the big scheme of things, finding the best song and that is true to who you are is important.
Yep, that's always true. Well, Austin, we talked about, you know, you being more old school, and we talked about the way the genres in country music shift around like they do in other styles of music and in all kinds of performing arts. But where do you think country music is headed today?
I think the audience for country music is craving someone being honest. And as you mentioned, a lot of the country has been more of a pop country, and I kind of explain it to people. When I turned on the radio 3 years ago, this whole phase of I'm hot, you're hot, and we're in a truck happened. Hmm. And people need substance in songs. And for the past few years, there hasn't been a lot of that. There's some guys coming out now, including myself, as, you know, not afraid to put it out there on the line and just going, hey, this is me, this is what I got to say. You know, if you like it, great. If you don't, you know, I'm still going to do it. And we got to have guys like that because that's country music. You know, you take Merle Haggard and Johnny Cash and Alan Jackson and Randy Travis, those guys didn't care whether someone liked it or not. The fact that they had that mentality is why they were successful, because they were honest and they told a story, you know, that people could relate to. That's what country music is.
Well, Austin, we are out of time now. It's been great talking to you, and I think I like what I hear, too, and I suspect a whole lot of people in the listening audience do as well. To learn more about Austin Moody, go to Facebook and find Austin Moody Music. That's M-O-O-D-Y, Austin Moody Music. You can see him perform on YouTube, and he's on Twitter and Instagram. And to see his tour dates and other things, go to austinmoody.net or just Google Austin Moody. I think you told me that because you're fairly recently signed with a new label, they're reconstructing your website, so there's not a whole lot yet on austinmoody.net, but there will be soon. So I want to thank you so much for being on with us, Austin Moody.
Well, thank you for having me, Court. I appreciate it.
And thanks to all of you for listening. I hope you'll tune in again next week, same time, same place, for more American Variety Radio.